I'm so glad that I hang out with you guys that the Lord gave me. He said, Craig, you go and attach yourself to this group of people. And it's just a wonderful, I can't imagine a better family to be a part of, a better people to be a part of. And it's so exciting to I don't take you for granted. At least I hope I don't. Thank you guys. Give them a clap. Oh, that is so amazing. Just flowing with the Holy Spirit. It was just wonderful. And appreciate them so much. As we jump into a little bit of teaching here, as we know, this is Resurrection Sunday. We'll often say Easter. I looked that word up today. Probably not actually good origins on the word, so I'll say Resurrection Sunday. I don't think the Lord cares. He knows our heart, and He looks after us. But let me tell you something that just, you know this. This is a story you know. But what happened on that cross? I think we have to go all the way back before there was creation, before the 6 days of creation. You had the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all in perfect unity, all in perfect love, flowing with each other. And if love is truly love, it has to give. That's why so much in our society that they call love is actually not love, it's lust. It's saying things to do things to get to meet something that we want. But true love is it has to give. And so I believe 6,000 years ago, or however many thousands of years it was, they created Adam and Eve. So they created them, our grandparents, there's a literal Adam and Eve, created them in His image. And part of that image was the ability to receive love, like they all receive love from the rest of the Trinity, and the ability to give love back. And that's what I believe His primary objective of creating them. Gave them a perfect place to live called the Garden of Eden. Perfect climate, whatever, you know, there's no thermostats there, whatever they thought was the perfect, maybe it situated or suited them. And perfect food, didn't make you fat, didn't give you diabetes, and it was healthy for you and probably tasted better than what we've got now. But the best part of it was, I believe, that was a connection between earth and heaven where the Father could freely go back and forth and interact with His image and show love. And so the disadvantage of not the disadvantage, it's just a characteristic of love, is it has to be given voluntarily or it's not love. And so there was a partnership at a deep, intimate level between them. And it was a beautiful thing until they chose, we want to do our own thing instead of doing it with Him. And I really believe it's not like God can sin, not the Trinity can sin, but I really believe it broke their hearts because they no longer, not just for what we would miss, but it was also because they knew that their connection of wanting to love and receive love back was broken. Because He is love, but we often forget in our society, people say, well, God will tolerate anything. He tolerates anything because we're still here. But He can't associate Himself with anything because He's a holy God. And some of the words that we had up here on different songs, bride, beloved, that's what they embraced and that's what they were a part of and that's what they were involved in that Garden of Eden. And this is language that even today, in most of Christianity, it makes us uncomfortable to say we're the bride of Jesus. But do you realize all through the Old Testament, they go, that's just not biblical. All through the Old Testament, Jesus constantly, or the God the Father, God, whoever is speaking, constantly said, I am married to them, I'm betrothed to them. And there were times where they so made Him so mad, He says, I'm going to divorce you. That marriage model has been around since the very beginning. Because that's how close He wants us to be. That's how intimate He wants us to be. And at least in my culture, growing up as in the South, with a dad that was from East Tennessee and more country than anything, but I think it's pretty typical. I think it's a little bit easier for males, but it's pretty typical of males anywhere. When you start talking about bride and beloved, it sort of freaks us out. And, you know, let's don't take it too far. You don't have to wear a white dress and it doesn't get weird. But that's how close He wants to be. And I think in every male, there's a place where we want to have a best friend. We want to have somebody that understands us and we understand them. And so that bride, that metaphor, is one that we end the earth with. Hosea 2:19 is just one from the Old Testament. It says, "And I will," he's talking to the Israelites, "and I will betroth you." That's an old word. It means I will engage. We call it engagement today. "I will engage you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, and you shall know the Lord." And then it ends in Revelation 19, two chapters from the end. It says, "Let us rejoice and exult and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready." And that's why in Ephesians 5, it's sort of a strange passage, verse 25 and on. It says, "Men, love your wife as Jesus loved the church. Die for her if you need to." And he uses the metaphor of marriage. And when Eve came along and was married to Adam, he said, "You're my helpmate." Helpmate does not mean subservient, does not mean second, does not mean less. What it means is together y'all help to accomplish the purpose that I've called you to. And the Lord is slowly in America bringing back the language. We're His partner in marriage. We're His helpmate as a bride in marriage. That what His goal is, what His purpose is our goal and our purpose. And so they rejected Him. If you believe the genealogies, put whatever date you want on it. 6,000 years ago, 4,000 BC, they rejected Him. And then He repeatedly called out over and over through the Old Testament, "Will you come back?" He couldn't get as close as He was before because of the problem of sin. It needed to be dealt with. But He said, "If you'll sacrifice lambs, that's a placeholder. It's good enough." And He kept trying to call them the Israelites when they first came out of Egypt, out of slavery. He was there on Mount Sinai, and He was talking face to face with Moses. And He said, "But I want to talk to you face to face." But they got scared, and they said no, and they rejected Him again. And then that's when He said, "Okay, I'll go live in a 15 by 15 by 15 box that's called the Holy of Holies. And maybe one day they'll want me again as their husband, as their bride, as their Savior." And He was repeatedly rejected. He sent His prophets into the Old Testament over and over again to call them back. Last year, or maybe it's 2023, I read all 11 minor prophets. This is after Isaiah. It's the last 11 books. Because I felt the Lord was directing me. You can sum up, maybe this isn't real theologian-like, but you can sum up all 11 minor prophets this way. "I'm calling you. If you respond, I bless you. If you don't respond, you suffer the consequences. Not necessarily from me, but because of not walking with me." And it was a repeated call over and over again. So for 4,000 years, they had no fellowship. They had no relationship. Very few things was going on. There's a few people that His Spirit came on, like David and Moses and Abraham, but there wasn't that many, and a few prophets here and there. But He wanted, His entire plan was, it was thwarted at the Garden of Eden by the devil and men's choices, but I win in the end. I win in the end. Nobody knows. Nobody knew the plan of Jesus on earth. If so, the devil would have never killed Him. The devil would have never crucified Him. But I believe somewhere in heaven, in the purpose of time, so for 4,000 years, although they live outside of time, but for 4,000 years, when they were in time, I believe they were like, one day we'll have this partnership again. One day we'll have true marriage. One day we'll have true intimacy. One day it'll come back. Because what I create, even though I give them free will, in the end, my creation has to come around. My commands. I won't violate their will, but there'll be a people that will voluntarily go, I want you more than anything. And so I believe somewhere around 2,000 years ago in the spirit realm, this anticipation and longing and desire for relationship. Be careful we don't reduce Christianity to something we do in a set of rules. Christianity is a call to a relationship with a person whose name is Jesus Christ. And if you're like me, it's hard. We've been preaching this for years, but in the beginning, when I talk about being the bride of Christ and this marriage metaphor, it messed with my mind. And I can tell most men, especially women, don't seem to have a problem. But most men, the little bit that I teach outside of here, when I talk about it, it just freaks them out. Well, this is the thing. We need to get past this and get over our hang-ups and get over it, because what happens when He comes back? We don't just go to heaven. Matter of fact, we don't even go to heaven. We come back to earth. But what happens? What's the big, great event besides the judgment seat of Christ? That's a big, great event. So that's one. I'll give you that. What's the big, great event? What'd you say? What kind of supper? So between now and then, let's get used to it. So that we're not sitting at the table awkward. Amen? But I believe somewhere in the spirit realm. This is Craig. Let my creativity go here. I believe they were in heaven, and their heart and their desire for this relationship for you that were created in their image. Even if we reject Him, we look like Him. Even if we reject Him, you're still His sons and daughters. You can have children that don't follow parents, but they're still your children. And that's one reason the devil wants to destroy lives so much. He wants your lives destroyed. But even more than that, he can laugh at the devil, at God, and go, I can't touch your image, but I can touch your reproduced image. But anyway, I believe somewhere 2,000 years in the past, right before they came down, I believe the Father turned to Jesus. Because it says this plan was created before the foundation of the world. Before we were created, the 6 days of creation. I believe He turned and said, go and get your bride now. It's time. That's powerful. It's time to go get your bride. Not just for salvation, but it's time to go get your bride. And what's amazing about all of this is He did this. They said it planned this before the foundation of the world. They saw what we would do before we were created, but they still did it because they so desired and so enjoy our relationship. And that's, I believe, I hate to speak for them, but let's say one of the primary purposes on that cross was to save us, because we have to get back adopted into the family. But that wasn't the end point. It wasn't to use us. He doesn't need us. We do work with Him, and that's another topic. We are in partnership with Him as a helpmate. But it was because He looked so forward to relationship with us. And as He was on the cross, and we know the story, if not, I'm sure you've heard enough of it. And they put that crown of thorns on His head. And He said, it's going to be worth it. And as they flogged Him, He said, it's going to be worth it, because one day I'm going to be able to talk to the people in this room. Because I'm going to give them my Holy Spirit. I'm going to give them my Spirit, which is me, us, three persons, one God. I don't know how you figure it all out. He said, one day it's going to be worth it. It's going to be even better than the Garden of Eden. Because there's some debate whether they actually had Holy Spirit inside of them. They most likely probably didn't. But they did walk with them face to face. He said, one day it's going to be even better. I'm going to endure this. And when people on Palm Sunday, which was last Sunday, were throwing down and palms down on the ground to make his way look royal as he was on the donkey and as he was walking through on those palms, and they were calling him King Jesus, and then 3 days later they said, crucify him. He said, it's going to be worth it. Because he can live out, the God part of him can live outside space and time, and he sees talking to each one of you every day. And he goes, it's going to be worth it. Now this is and so he did that and rose again from the dead. And so this metaphor, which we've talked about here a long time now, for years, you can hear it more and more, because this is how close he wants to be with you. Not just a soldier for him, not just a farmer for him, although we do all of that. But first, his helpmate. Do I understand that? No, I don't understand it. But he'll show us. And he'll guide us. This guy that I mentioned at the 5:30 meeting, 5:30 intercession, Nate Johnston, he wrote something recently that really just sort of, I don't know how it affected me. Let me just read it. He said that, so we've been talking about weddings and betrothed and marriage. He said this. He said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, the church has lost her ring. Talking about a wedding ring. The church has lost her wedding ring. So before we go on, let's pray, and then I'll pick up teaching again. And Father, oh, Radisha Karapokura Makare Titeyasa. Jesus and Spirit. I just speak to you, Jesus, and I say, I know it's a metaphor, but symbolically today, we put on the wedding ring with you. We say yes. We don't even know what that means. In 2 months, I would have been married for 40 years. When I got married 40 years ago, I thought I knew what marriage meant. I knew a little bit, but not much. And so we come to you now and we say, we want to be betrothed to you. We put on your wedding ring. We know a little bit, but we don't know much, but we trust in the teacher that you've given us, the Spirit to show us. And we say yes. And one day we'll get to see you face to face. And one day it'll be fully sealed. Now we have the Holy Spirit as an inheritance, which is a down payment, a dowry, as it says in some foreign countries. We don't do that here when you get betrothed. That's what that means. The Holy Spirit is a dowry payment that the bridegroom has paid for us. And it's much more than just a payment. I get that. But we say we want to be intimate with you. We want to follow hard after you. And we want to be your helpmate. And we put on the ring. Because this is one of the reasons you resurrected from that grave. As you came out of that grave in boldness and in power, there's a lot of things happened. You gave us authority, but you also gave us the capacity to wake up to a partnership. And we say yes today, to the best of our understandings. And we say, Holy Spirit, teach us Jesus. Help us to know His ways. Help us to know His voice. Help us to know His emotions. Help us to know His opinions, as He knows our ways, voice, and opinions. Amen. I have so many notes here, but I think that's all. It's only been like 15 minutes, but I think that's all the Lord wants to give out today. I think that's enough as an impartation here. And we're putting on the ring. Amen. That's a good metaphor. I appreciate getting that from Nate Johnston. I'll give him credit. Next time I'll say, I'll just say it. You know what I said last time?